This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Text 16. Atmascha patya suhrido balam riddhakosham. Please repeat. Atmastrapatyas prisuhrido balam riddhakosham antapuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya antapuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Atmastrapatya suhrido balam riddhakosham Atmastrapatya suhrido balam riddhakosham Antapuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya Antapuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya Bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya Bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya Kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Atmastrapatya suhrido balam riddhakosham Atmastrapatya suhrido balam riddhakosham Antahpuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya Antahpuram parivihara bhuvashcharamya Bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya Bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya Kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Please go ahead, read once.
Atma Sri Apatya Suhrido Balam Riddhakosham
Atma Sri Apatya Suhrido Balam Riddhakosham
Antapuram Parivihara Bhuvashcharamya
Antapuram Parivihara Bhuvashcharamya
Bhumandalam Jalati Nikalam Akalaya
Bhumandalam jaladhimekhalam akalaya Kalopasrishtam iti sa prayayau vishalam Word for word equivalents Atma,
Atma.
Body.
Body
Stri,
Stri.
Wives
Wife.
Apatya,
Apatya,
children,
children.
Suhrida,
Suhrida,
friends,
friends.
Balam,
Balam,
influence,
influence.
Army,
army.
Riddhakosham,
Riddhakosham,
rich treasury,
rich treasury.
Antahapuram,
Antahapuram,
female residential quarters.
Female residential quarters.
Parivihara bhuvah,
Parivihara bhuvah.
Pleasure grounds.
Pleasure grounds.
Cha,
cha,
and
ramya,
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Bhumandalam,
Bhumandalam,
the complete earth.
The complete earth.
Jaladhi,
Jaladhi,
by oceans.
By oceans.
Mekhalam, bound. Akalaya, considering. Kala, by time. Upasrishtam, created. Iti, thus. Saha, he. Prayayau, went. Vishalam, to Bhadarikashram. Translation. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj, at the end, left his kingdom, which extended all over the earth and was bounded by the great oceans. He considered his body, his wives, his children, his friends, his army, his rich treasury, his very comfortable palaces, and his many enjoyable pleasure grounds to be creations of the illusory energy. Thus, in due course of time, he retired to the forest in the Himalayas, known as Bhadarikashram. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of his life, when he went to the forest in search of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj realized that all bodily conceptions of pleasure are products of the illusory energy. In the very beginning, of course, he was after the kingdom of his father, and in order to get it, he went to search for the Supreme Lord. But later he realized that everything is the creation of the illusory energy. From the acts of Srila Dhruva Maharaj, we can understand that somehow or other, if one becomes Krishna conscious, it does not matter what his motivation is in the beginning. He will eventually realize the real truth by the grace of the Lord. In the beginning, Dhruva Maharaj was interested in the kingdom of his father, but later he became a great devotee, Mahabhagavata, and had no interest in material enjoyment. The perfection of life can be achieved only by devotees. Even if one completes only a minute percentage of devotional service and then falls down from his immature position, he is better than a person who fully engages in the fruitive activities of this material world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitana Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarupyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Atma Strapatya Suhrido Balam Riddha Kosham Antapuram Parivihara Bhuvascha Ramya Bhumandalam Jaladi Mekhalam Akalaya Kalo Prasishtam Iti Sa Prayaya Vishalam. Dhruva Maharaj has ruled the kingdom of the entire planet Earth for 36,000 years. This is occurring in Satya Yuga, when persons lived for 100,000 years. So it would be like a king ruling on this planet for something like 36 years. While it seems quite fantastic, comparatively, it's relatively the same as what we find here. Of course, now there are no kings who can even rule for 36 years in an honest way, like Dhruva Maharaj. But the age was different. It was the age of truth. Satya means truth. That age where all the good qualities of the world were fully manifest. And that those good qualities include following the Varnashram system. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj, having reached his maturity, left his kingdom. It's recommended in Manu Smriti that when one sees wrinkles on his face, hairs on his head turning gray, and the children of his children, he should leave home. We begin our spiritual life, just a spiritual life and material life operate on principles which are comparable. And when we can learn principles of one, we can apply them to others, to the other. Therefore, in the Ishopanishad, it's explained that one should learn simultaneously, vidya vidya sampane, one should learn equally well that which is absolute truth and that which is nescience, that which is ignorance. You should know them both very well. We should have complete knowledge of all spiritual and material manifestations. So what principles are there that are that we can learn and apply to both will be the subject of today's class. In the beginning of a sequence of events, one starts out at a certain place. Let's say when I'm a child, I like sweets, right? That's common enough. Children like sweets naturally. Then, as I grow, I am confronted with new information that if I eat sweets all day long, every day, I'll get sick and I won't. It will be havoc for my body. So I have to eat broccoli, even though as a child I don't want to eat the broccoli. So to cope with that new information, I behave differently. There's a paper there on the, by that. Yeah, I need the paper. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, not the big one. The little one I wrote on. No? All right, never mind. It should be on the corner. If it's not there, don't worry. No. One moment, please. Thank you very much. So in time, the beginning we have a certain habit, like eating sweets. But then things have to change in the middle to cope with the new information. Like the boy learns that he can't eat sweets or he'll get sick, so he has to change his habit. That's the middle stage. But we see that, for example, a wise person, an advanced devotee, a sadhu, a paramahamsa, he may also take Krishna prasadam in his sweets. He may take sweets. But his attraction to the sweets is not like the attraction the child had for the sweets. When the pure devotee tastes the sweet prasad of Krishna, all he's perceiving is that Krishna is sweet. The The child is attracted to the sweet for sense gratification, but the sadhu is attracted to Krishna's sweetness as it manifests there. So the activity may appear to be the same. One is eating sweets, the other is eating sweets, but the state of consciousness is different. Nonetheless, in the beginning and in the end, they're eating sweets. Only in the middle is there artificial restriction to learn a lesson. So, Varnashram system also, in the beginning, there's renunciation. When you're a brahmachari, there's renunciation according to regulative principles. And after 25 years of brahmacharya, 20 years of brahmacharya from age 5 till age 25, the brahmachari is allowed the option. If he would like to get married, he can get married. He becomes a grihastha. If he chooses that path, then the way of living changes. He has a job, he has a family. He has a house. And so the austerities change. He may no longer sleep on the floor. He may no longer eat only when the guru tells him to eat. He may no longer spend 6 hours a day reading the shastra. Of course, if he can, that's ideal. But after grihastha life, one is recommended not to remain at home until the point of death, and to remain at work until the point of death. One should retire. Generally, this is at the age of 50. One should retire. Then again, he's renounced. But that renunciation of the sannyasi and of the vanaprast is not the same as the renunciation of the brahmachari. As a small child, he's forced to renounce. He wants to eat sweets, but he's forced to renounce, to control his senses by doing yajnas. But the vanaprast, the sannyasi, the senior devotee, has acquired a higher taste. A higher taste than sense gratification. So that automatically and spontaneously he renounces sense gratification. So it may appear the same. The brahmachari is celibate. The sannyasi is celibate. But the celibacy, the renunciation overall, not just celibacy, but austerity in general of a renunciate is on a spontaneous platform, which should never be equalized with the platform of the person who's struggling like anything to control his senses. Therefore, we hear from the advanced devotees. We should give special attention to serving them and hearing from them. Because they're on the spontaneous platform of loving devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, they have no attraction for sense gratification. It's perfectly nice to hear from all the devotees, but we should especially hear from the senior devotees. In the beginning, there's renunciation. In the middle, there's a change to cope with new desires, new fears, or new information. And then, again, it goes 180 degrees, it comes full circle, 360 degrees, sorry, comes full circle, back to the point of renunciation. Just like the child ate the sweets, then due to new information, he had to change, eating some broccoli, some cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And then again he can take sweets, an old man, but it'll be on a different level. In the same way, the brahmachari is renounced, then there may be new desires, there may be new fears or new information. He takes the order of grihastha. And then again, he should renounce. But that renunciation is not the same as when he was a child. And in our body also, simply, this is totally natural, that in the beginning, you're born as a baby, you don't have any teeth, you don't have any means to take care of yourself. Then when you grow, things change, you have some new abilities. And then when you're an old man, again, you don't have teeth, and you don't have any means to take care of yourself. So these cycles, these three examples are illustrating that temporally speaking, that means from the point of view of time, the center is a point of change, which is based on new information, new desires, and new situation. But the beginning and the end are the same, at least superficially the same. We call this bookends. Means you have a cover here, you have something in the middle, and you have another cover. Bhagavad Gita is set up this way also, that you have a cover of karma for the first six chapters. You have the substance, which is bhakti, in the center. And then that's the middle six chapters. And then you have another cover at the end, jnana. This is also compared to how a king travels. There's a huge group of a procession of people who are in front of the king playing music, and his bodyguards are there protecting him. Then in the middle is the king. And then again, there's more procession behind him. So that's there. But the, actually the there's a slight difference also. I want to use the example of Bhagavad Gita for spatial center. We talked about time, how in the beginning it's one way, then it changes and then it goes back. That's time. And there the center is relatively less important. It's just a phase of change, which is leading us back to the same point where we started, but on a higher level. Okay, like the child eating the sweets for sense gratification, and later a person realizing the sweetness of Krishna. Compared to realizing the sweetness of Krishna, bodily maintenance is less important. But from a spatial point of view, the center plays a different role. Temporally, it may have been less important, the center. But now, from a spatial point of view, the center is the most important thing. And that's the example of Bhagavad Gita, actually, that I intended to bring up. Please forgive me for mixing my examples. In the beginning, there's karma. In the middle is the essence, that's bhakti. And then at the end, there's jnana. Karma and jnana are different. So the beginning and the end are different. Right? We're talking about space here. Also, in the heart of the body is roughly in its center. It's the most important thing. Its influence is felt throughout the whole body. And in the same way, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, the heart of Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. The ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, is the heart of Bhagavad Gita, which, although physically located in the center, is felt throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's why Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is, describes bhakti throughout it. The whole, everything is described in terms of bhakti because that's Krishna's heart. And Krishna is also spatially, he's the center of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. Krishna is the center of everything. He's the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything is emanating from him, therefore he must be the center. Like a light bulb is surrounded by light. The sun is surrounded by sunlight and heat. The sun is the center. And from it is emanating everything. Therefore its influence is felt everywhere. The sun is located in one place, but his influence is spread everywhere. God is everywhere by his energies, though it's located in one place, Vrindavan Dham, Goloka Vrindavan. He's one place, but his influence is spread everywhere by his energies. That's the power of spatial centrality. So while I was trying to understand something about modern ideas of space and time, it's all very convoluted. I think that they don't properly understand themselves, and so there's just 1,008 different theories here and there. But to explain it from a Vedic perspective, space and time are one and different. Relative, so how so? One, in the sense of remotely. Remotely, they both come from Krishna. They're both energies of Krishna. They're both inside of Krishna. Krishna is all pervasive. He's everywhere. They're made of Krishna's energy. Therefore, they're one, in the sense that they're both supported by Krishna. They're both coming from Krishna. They're both Krishna's energies. In that sense, everything is one. Including space and time, right? But remotely is one thing. Now, immediately, though, they're different, right? Space is I can ask for some space, and I needed this space earlier. You moved, and now I have the space. Then I had to go upstairs to get my recording equipment. And that took time, but not space. So there are obvious differences. There are many situations in which I have space, but I have no time. And I have time, but I have no space. So they're not 100% one and the same. They're one and different. Everything in this world is one and different. So the role of the center changes in terms of time and in terms of space. Temporarily, what happens in the middle may be important, may not be important. But spatially, the center is extremely essential. And the coverings can be dispensed with. Rather, best way of putting it is the coverings can only be properly understood in reference to the center. So this is very abstract language. Specifically, what I'm saying is that this world is centered around Krishna. If we want to understand how to live in this world, if we want to understand how to use the things we've got, if we want to understand how to have proper relationships with other people, and what we should be interested in, what we should be afraid of, all of that can be understood properly only in reference to the center of everything, which is Krishna. Like I said, I tried to understand it, but it's all very confusing to me. I don't understand what these scientists are trying to say. Anyway, every 50 years they change what they say. And this is talking about how what we may view as this, Time is actually illusory. It's part of this material world. In the spiritual world, there's no time. There's only transcendental time. No past, no future, only present. That's the spiritual world. Everything, it's eternal. Eternal is a Latin word that, or is derived from a Latin word, which means with no time. Eternal. Without time. So, these phases of creation, maintenance, and destruction. They're going on cyclically. 1 minute it's winter, 1 minute it's spring, then summer, fall, winter again. It's just going on in circles like this. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like we are doing it.
But in terms of time, if we look at the beginning phase and we find that it'll go through a change, but then it will return again. So it's better to be focused on what does not change, so that we don't be bewildered by all the change. Our service and our association. We always have some service, we always have some association. If we don't have one of these or either of them, then we should seek them. Okay. Would you like to ask anything? Think about it. Ask. Okay, apart from the subject of today's class, then, anything at all.
They have some personal challenges. In my case, my family or not, very into this work. So, only I am into Krishna consciousness, and I am doing my chanting and coming weekly for that Bhagavatam class. How to overcome all this?
In the case of those who are not interested in devotional service, we have to be there. First, we have to be interested in devotional service. Let it be. We have some understanding that by Krishna consciousness, I'm happy. I'm happy when I'm in Krishna consciousness. I'm disturbed when I'm not in Krishna. And I'm happy when I am in Krishna consciousness. So I have to decide if I want to be happy or not. Yes, I want to be happy. So let me be Krishna conscious. Naturally, people will see, oh, he's happy. Let me also be happy. And if they want to be in misery, that's their choice. There's nothing we can do to change what they choose. But what we can do for them is be there as a friend. Be fully attentive to them. Hear them. What are they going through? In this way, they will begin to trust us. They'll find that everyone else is just trying to use me for something, but this person is listening to me. He cares about me. I trust him. And then what happens is this material world busts people up. And where do they turn when they get busted up? They turn to the person they trust. And if that's a devotee, they say, what can I do? Then the devotee can share Krishna consciousness with them, because at that moment when they ask, what can I do, their heart is open. They've become humble by getting busted up. And it's sad that that's how it has to happen. That is the fact. If we're so satisfied without Krishna, then there's nobody in the world will change our opinion. Not even Krishna, because he's given us free will. But the miracle of association with devotees is that if we turn to the devotees in our time of need, then we're able to receive the message of devotional service in the heart. Our role is to be Krishna conscious ourselves, and to be a friend to everyone. Prabhupada was everyone's well-wisher. He said, I'm your ever-well-wisher. That's enough. The devotee can be Krishna conscious and be the well-wisher of others. That will open the floodgates for preaching. Be done in a mood of service. This person is suffering. He wants something. I have something I can give him. Let me give him that. But if the person thinks that we're just trying to control them, they won't care. Anyway, they can try. Everyone's trying to control, so what's the difference? Someone's trying to control me to buy this product. You're trying to control me to buy Bhagavad Gita. They won't see a difference. They'll think it's cheating. They're tired of being cheated. Yes. So let them come to the realization that they need help, and if we have earned their trust, then we can change. Then we can offer them nectar. And if they accept it, it will change their heart. Krishna will change their heart. Everyone's a devotee, actually. Krishna. The nature of the soul is to be the servant of Krishna. Eternal servant. Nityadas. In the beginning, in the spiritual world, we are Krishna's servant. In the middle, due to some little change of information, we try to change things. But then again, we go back home, back to Godhead, and we're Krishna's servant. This is the insignificance of this temporal middle. Yes. But bookends, beginning and end, spiritual. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.